Anthony Bourdain is dead.
I write, I travel, I eat.
President Trump confronts allies.
Tough talk on trade in Quebec.
Washington wins the Stanley Cup.
It's so surreal. This is the best thing that's happened in my life.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Home Advisor.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. We begin with breaking news, the death of the celebrated chef, writer, and TV personality Anthony Bourdain.
To fall in love with Asia is one thing. To fall in love in
Asia. Bourdain traveled far and wide, most recently on CNN, to sample food and tell stories, sometimes with a flair for the outrageous and profane. CBS's Vladimir Duthier says his death is an apparent suicide.
Bourdain was in France working on an upcoming episode of his award-winning CNN series. CNN said his close friend, Eric Rippert, the French chef, found Bourdain unresponsive in his hotel room. Bourdain was a master of his crafts, first in the kitchen and then in the media. Through his TV shows, books, he explored the human condition and helped audiences think differently about food, travel, and themselves. He advocated for marginalized populations and campaigned for safer working conditions for restaurant staffs.
Anthony Bourdain was 61. Just yesterday, the CDC reported a major rise in suicides in this country since 1999. It's now the 10th leading cause of death. President Trump is set to meet with America's closest allies with trade, now a contentious issue. CBS's Stephen Portnoy joins us live this morning from Quebec.
In a tweet before he heads here, Mr. Trump said his talks at the G7 summit will focus on the long-time unfair trade practiced against the United States. Last night, he said the host of this summit, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, was being indignant, complaining about Mr. Trump's new steel and aluminum tariffs. Those tariffs have led to the most acrimonious statements about an American president issued by his Western world counterparts in memory. But Larry Kudlow, the president's top economic advisor, said this week,
I regard this as much like a family quarrel.
The White House said last night that Mr. Trump would leave the summit early to sooner head to Singapore for the meeting with Kim Jong-un. He'll miss discussions here about the environment and climate change. And the French president says the U.S. might be left off the leader's statement, and that would be a true sign of exclusion. Steve?
Well, the president indicates his meeting next week with North Korea's leader is about attitude, and he doesn't need much preparation. CBS's Ben Tracy has more from Singapore.
President Trump continues to say that his goal is to get North Korea to agree to complete denuclearization and also a quick timeline for making that happen. But Kim Jong-un has only said he's willing to talk about it and has made no firm promises or said what he would want in return for giving up his weapons.
Well, James Wolf, the longtime director of security for the Senate Intelligence Committee, has been arrested on charges of lying to the FBI. CBS's Jeff Pegues.
Prosecutors say that Wolf falsely claimed to FBI agents in an interview in 2017 that he did not have contact with reporters. But according to an indictment, investigators say that he had repeated contact with at least three reporters between 2015 and 2017. The New York Times reported Thursday that investigators secretly seized years' worth of phone and email records from reporter Allie Watkins. The Times says Watkins had a three-year personal relationship with Wolf before she began working for the paper in 2017.
The Trump administration crackdown on illegal immigration has jammed detention centers, so now some detainees, including parents who've been separated from children, will be off to federal prisons. CBS's Bill Rakoff.
It's a temporary solution, according to Immigrations and Customs Enforcement officials, who say about 1,600 detainees will be moved to federal prisons, including possible asylum seekers. One prison in California could get up to 1,000 of those detainees, leading to worries by union leaders about the safety at such facilities for its corrections officers.
In a new court filing, the Trump administration says it will no longer defend key parts of Obamacare that includes the individual mandate and the guarantee of access, regardless of medical conditions. The U.S. has sent help to Guatemala in the wake of the deadly volcanic eruption. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez is covering the aftermath.
There are currently more than 4,000 people living in shelters. This bad weather and more eruptions forced officials to suspend the search for bodies in villages, but some determined family members said they would go up there and do it themselves.
In the midst of an opioid abuse epidemic, researchers say they may be on the brink of creating a non-addictive painkiller. CBS's Peter King.
Researchers say it's not a narcotic. It's 50 times more powerful than morphine, yet not addictive. AJ Yekurila is the co-founder and chief scientific officer for Blue Therapeutics.
It targets receptors in the spinal cord where you are able to reduce the perception of pain without targeting areas of the brain which lead to, you know, the addiction side effects.
The so-called molecule Blue 181 is getting financial support from the National Institutes for Health and the Defense Department, which sees it as a promising treatment for wounded veterans who are especially prone to opioid addiction.
Well, NASA says a Mars rover found three different types of organic molecules when it drilled into rock in a crater on the red planet. Scientist Jennifer Eigenbrod says it also detected increases in methane gas on Earth. That's generated mostly by human, animal, and plant life.
There's a mystery there as to why it's there, where it's from. And that's what future missions are going to have to figure out. It could be a sign of life.
Well, life is good for long-suffering fans of hockey's Washington Capitals. CBS's Steve Futterman says a 4-3 win over the Vegas Golden Knights gave the team its first Stanley Cup.
It's not a dream!
After decades of frustration, the Washington Capitals here in Las Vegas hit the jackpot.
You cheer for some, you know, for the stupid little hockey team of your hometown for so long, and you get disappointment after disappointment, and then all of a sudden, it happens.
Among the Washington players, no one seemed happier than the Capitals' great Alex Ovechkin.
All the hard work, all the support, whatever it takes, we did it.
There was also emotion from Washington's TJ Oshie, who held his young daughter on the ice while answering questions.
I dreamt about this since I was about her age.
For years, the Capitals have been known as an underachieving team until last night.
The heartbreak is over.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, Las Vegas.
America's top military man in Afghanistan has an eye on terror groups as the Kabul government takes a holiday break from battling the Taliban.
General John Nicholson says U.S. forces will be monitoring events closely during the ceasefire with the Taliban, watching to make sure the group doesn't regroup during the pause.
I feel confident that we're going to be well postured to deal with anything that happens in terms of a ceasefire violation and to maintain relentless pressure during this entire time.
ISIS and Al-Qaeda aren't covered by the ceasefire, and U.S. forces will continue their operations against them. Cammie McCormick, CBS News at NATO headquarters.
His attorney says Milwaukee Bucks guard Sterling Brown will file a lawsuit today against the city's police department. Officers used a stun gun on him in January when he was detained for a parking violation. Brown was not charged. Officers were disciplined. That's the World News Roundup for Friday. The broadcast is produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.